This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yeah, Faza. I'm waiting for the green light. Sorry? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers and sisters, it is our duty for us to spread the message of Islam. Revivers, a group of passionate students, unite to offer you the opportunity to fulfill this obligation together.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's too dry. You guys are like preparing for exams or what? Omar, always busy, right? Where's Faza? How's your time going on?
Alhamdulillah, very good.
Good? Alhamdulillah. Okay, bismillah. Okay, jazakumullah khairan for coming for today's event. I am quite excited for what's coming up with both our speakers, Sheikh Ibrahim and Dr. Bilal. But while we wait for the mashayikh, I want to take a different approach to this event because this is our first mini conference. We always have these small pocket events that we do. 3 to 4 every semester, am I right? Right? And this was like the bonus one, right? The fifth one. Now, alhamdulillah, the bonus turned out to be a mini conference. Hopefully, the next one turns out a full-fledged conference. I think Omar, inshallah, prepare for it, yeah? So, bismillah. So, I want to take a different journey towards this particular event. You know, we Revivers have been around for about 6 years. But the reality is that it's not really 6 years, right? People tend to ask us a lot, what's the meaning behind the name Revivers, or the fist, or the flame, right? There's a lot going on our logo, and there's been this question, why all these, right? The fist maybe makes sense, you know, like you're all young people here, all of us, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, because then, at the end of the day, you know, in the afterlife, you all will be young, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So, I want to take us down a story, and it's a story about all of us sitting here, right? Every single one of you who's occupied the seat here, and everyone out there, it's a story about all of us. And it's a story about mankind putting their first steps on this planet. And that's where Allah Azza wa Jal sent Adam alayhi salam and our mother Hawa alayhi salam on earth first, right? And at that time, something was unique, which is not there in our times today, which is there was no shirk whatsoever on earth. It was just two people. What shirk would be there, right? But alhamdulillah, there was tawheed, and that was the essence. That's what they came with, right? It may have been a punishment from Allah Azza wa Jalla that Adam alayhi salam was sent to earth, right, to approach the forbidden fruit. But then at the end of the day, it was Allah's plan that we will be on this planet. And we started with tawheed. And subhanAllah, as time went by, Tawheed still remained. Although Shaitan has had his plans, right? Shaitan wanted to deviate us from our right path. First, he started with the Shubuhat, Shahawat, you know. Sin started increasing, murder happened first, right? And then other types of sin started increasing and so on. And then came the Shubuhat, where he started putting these doubts in people where they should maybe, you know, make statues of people that they want to remember with and so on. And subhanAllah, shirk first started on earth, which is the worst sin that ever had to happen, right? And that's where the first reviver of that tawheed was sent by Allah Azza wa Jalla to us. Who was that? Who was that first reviver? Nuh alayhi salam, right? And subhanAllah, from that time, Nuh alayhi salam lit the fire of tawheed. Right? That fire of Tawheed was lit and was passed down generations after generations from one prophet to the other prophet. Right? From Nuh alayhi salam to Idris to, you know, Hud alayhi salam and to Ibrahim alayhi salam and a lot of prophets that came from them, right? Prophets and messengers. And to name a few, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam and so on. And finally, that torch was passed down to our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the final messenger to close that message, right?
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت نعمتي عليكم ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That's what the ayah says, where Allah has completed this religion for us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the thing is, has the message stopped there? Right? Is the role of a messenger stopped there? SubhanAllah, Allah granted us, this ummah, a unique thing, that we are all the messengers of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't hear sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A bit louder. MashaAllah, mashaAllah, mashaAllah. So, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed his legacy to us. This was part of his last message to us, that we should pass this on to the people that are coming forward, right? Whatever we have heard from him, right? Whatever we know of the Quran, we just need to spread it further and further. Until a day comes, inshallah, in the future, a day will come after the time of Isa alayhi salam coming back, where Tawheed would be the same like how it was at the time of Adam alayhi salam, that Tawheed would be spread and there would be no shirk on earth again. SubhanAllah, this is the legacy that we are talking about, of leaving a legacy, right? Every one of us, in our limited capacity, we can make a difference. You don't have to think about what type of, you know, life you're living, because Allah has granted us the ability to do something. As long as you can wake up every day in the morning, breathe, impact somebody, SubhanAllah, there is that opportunity for you. And this is where the revivalist thing comes up. And especially the youth. If you look at the time of the Prophet, the youth were the ones who really, really spread the deen, right? There were everybody who contributed in different ways, but the youth was a crucial part of it. And SubhanAllah, our university is filled with a lot of youth. We just have too many youth so far, right? This is where I'll come to the topic of today's day, which is in pursuit of wisdom. And when it comes to knowledge, knowledge doesn't come just by itself. We need to have wisdom, right? Knowledge just is, if you just take a lot of information, that is not knowledge, right? It follows action, and those actions lead us to wisdom. And we need to constantly pursue that wisdom, right? And who do we pursue that from? That's through our scholars. They are the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the messengers. Those are the scholars, right? They are the ones that we can see embodying the example of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we refer to them. Alhamdulillah, we have two amazing scholars today. First of them being Sheikh Ibrahim Nuhu. And Sheikh will be covering a topic on the obstacles of seeking knowledge. And there are a lot of obstacles, right? For example, us as students, I'm not a student anymore, but inshallah, we are all students till death, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Isn't that Amir? Inshallah. So, you know, we will face a lot of obstacles. As long as we are trying to seek knowledge, there are going to be obstacles. We need to bear patience. We need to understand how do we overcome these. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Sheikh Ibrahim will be briefing us on that. Just a little bit about Sheikh Ibrahim Nuhu. Sheikh is one of our closest, beloved mashayikh here, whom we have been taking knowledge from, I personally, for a very long time, and I see a lot of brothers here who have been attending his classes regularly. And Sheikh has been quite impactful in Malaysia. He's been here since early 2000, and he's had different classes, different programs that he's been doing in the da'wah space here. So inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, just shortly Sheikh will be coming up on the stage, sharing his thoughts on that. Just before that, I want to share some things about Sheikh. Sheikh has a lot of things that Sheikh is doing. SubhanAllah, it's just crazy how mashayikh have so much barakah in their time, and I hope Allah grants us the same barakah, right? So Sheikh is known for Another. Another is an organization back in Nigeria where it's an education organization, but Another does a lot of different things, building wells, building hospitals, universities, schools, and Another has impacted people like crazy in Nigeria. I've known Another since its inception, and this is crazy. So just to know more about Another, you can scan the QR code here, and alhamdulillah, Another has a lot of classes regularly that Sheikh conducts, and you can see that in the next slide, where there are regular classes Sheikh has. Ad-Dawah Dawah on Mondays. Then Sheikh has Riyadh al-Salihin on Tuesdays. On Thursday, Sheikh has Tafsir, Surah Al-Baqarah. And finally, on Saturday, Sheikh has Bulugh Al-Baram. And Sheikh has a lot of other programs. So if you closely watch another, you will on Instagram or other socials, you will be able to follow through. Another has a Telegram channel that you can sign up for. And you can get all the details of all the events. We have about, I think, 800 people in that group, I guess. So, alhamdulillah. So these are some resources. Inshallah, we will show these slides later so that you can scan them again. And inshallah, shortly we'll be starting, right? Sheikh is here. So that is it. Is there another slide? I think there's a Q&A slide, right? So there will be a slide for Q&A, for QR. So you just can scan it and then ask your questions, whatever questions you have. Asking questions is amazing. I just want to emphasize this on this little bit a lot. Someone once told me that, you know, two people are rewarded, the Sheikh and the one who asks questions immensely, because the one who asks questions, good questions that benefits everyone, it's not just him benefiting, he's actually benefiting everybody else in the space, right? Just make sure that you're not really very creative with your questions, but, you know, ask questions that would benefit everyone and inshallah benefit yourself as well. So without any further delay, I'd like to invite Sheikh on the stage to share his wisdom bismillah ta'ala on how we can, you know, overcome all these different obstacles to seeking knowledge. Jazakumullah khairan. So inshallah, I will catch up with you guys later. Just before Sheikh comes, we will be having a break time right after this. After the break, you can go, during the break time, you can go pray Maghrib and have dinner. There are a lot of places in UAE you can have dinner. A lot of mahallas and even center, there are quite a few places that are open. So you just got to come back here by 8:15. Yeah. And we will be having a couple of quiz. There will be prizes distributed after the quiz and some announcements that would be quite beneficial for you. Inshallah, after that, we'll have Dr. Bilal's session. So, inshallah, we'll be waiting for Sheikh.
Already here.
Salaamu alaykum, Sheikh.
Salaamu
alaykum, brother.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد جزاكم الله خيرا for giving me another opportunity to stand before you and speak about this important and noble topic, which is about seeking knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from you and put it in the mizan of your hasanat. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us amongst the students of knowledge and reliable people for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a very big and wide topic, and I do believe it is one of the most important topics to be discussed now. I'm talking about these days of ours, because we know education has been distorted. Not easy to find a proper place where you can properly educate yourself as far as education is concerned. That kind of life that we read, I mean, to be observed by the predecessors, we don't see it anymore nowadays. So that's why we can say that we're witnessing one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that knowledge is going to be removed. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ somebody is speaking. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ الرِّجَالِ وَإِنَّمَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not remove knowledge by removing it from the chest of the scholars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala usually doesn't do that. There are some circumstances where a person went too far and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the knowledge that he... At least if somebody can tell the brothers to reduce their voice. So, as I was saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala usually doesn't remove knowledge from the heart and the chest of the people. He used to be a scholar and then he just woke up and find everything is gone. So this doesn't happen usually. But there are circumstances where a person will be going, you know, too far in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going against his laws in a way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the knowledge completely from him. Like what happened to that person that Ibn Kathir, that Ibn Qayyim narrated that story, you know, which is true story of a person who is hafiz li kitabillah, but then he decided to change his religion and marry a Christian woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away everything he has except the verse and the beginning of Surah Al-Hijr. وَرُوبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. You see, that was the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left with him. We might be shedding light on this, but what I want you to understand is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't usually take the knowledge from the chest. But what he does is that he will take the scholars, one after the other. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَ عَالِمٌ أَوْ يُبْقِ عَالِمًا اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَّالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوُوا فَظَلُّوا وَأَضَلُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep on taking the scholars one after the other. You know, subhanAllah, that was a year when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, took out of this life great scholars, you know, that we rely upon. They died within a year. I remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after seeing this happening, because this is a clear warning that everyone should be very careful that we are moving towards this time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Knowledge will be removed and jahl will be, ignorance will be rampant. So he says Allah will take them back to him until the time there is nobody amongst the scholars remains. اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا. SubhanAllah, you see, in the time of Imam al-Dhahabi, who was one of the closest students of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, al-Dhahabi, Sahib al-Siyah, he was saying, you know, he was saying this hadith is referring to their time. And we're talking about 800 years ago. He said the Prophet ﷺ is talking about their time. SubhanAllah, he says the real scholars are gone. We have only a little, among those little, the real scholars among them who are using the knowledge that Allah SWT grant them, they are very little. They are the vast minority. They are the minority amongst the other scholars. So I don't know what kind of comment Al-Dhahabi will be given if he is to witness the time we are living in. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُحَالًا فَسُئِلُوا. People are going to take leaders. Leaders here are not necessarily meaning the authority, but the authority in terms of scholarship. We will recognize people as the scholars speaking on our behalf. And wallahi, this is exactly the time we're living in. There are many, many, many people who are talking on our behalf just because they have a language to speak, to address others. And we take them as scholars, and they're not. They're not. Even to put them in the, you know, circles of the tulab al-ilm, they don't qualify that. But since they have the language, you know, they speak, you know, very, you know, fluently, you know, everyone is taking them as a scholar. Special scholar, super scholar. We have heard all of these statements, which If you look at them through the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you understand that this is musibah on the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So people are going to take those ones to be acting as the scholars who are giving them the fatwas. Fasu'ilu. So the community is going to be asking them. And when they are asked, they will not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be given fatwa based on the deficient knowledge they have. And what happens after that? They are misguided and they will misguide others. So we're living in this time where the true knowledge is not easy to be found. But alhamdulillah, good is still there in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, the most important thing you do in this life to elevate yourself in ranking and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledge. There is nothing that can stand in its position without knowledge. That's why you find the greatest people, the best of the best, they struggle and they do everything possible to get the knowledge. I'm pretty sure all of us are aware of the story of Musa alayhi salam when he was giving a speech to the Jewish community, and it was so powerful, the speech, and excellent. It has to be like that. This is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ulil azm. So they really enjoyed that speech. So somebody told him, he says, Ya Nabi Allah, is there anyone who knows better than me? In another narration, that man asked him, do you know somebody who knows better than you? Musa alayhi salam said, no. So Allah blamed him badly because at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. Musa did not intend, this that you might be thinking, but there is adab in speaking when talking about the knowledge you have. Musa was supposed to say yes. At least he's supposed to refer the knowledge back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. And also, you have to understand this, that wallahi, no matter how much knowledge you have, amongst the people who are listening to you, there might be somebody who knows way better than you. This is how it is. That's why you don't belittle people. You respect everyone who deserves to be respected. And you always be humble. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in knowledge. There are some people who are very picky in terms of who to take knowledge from. And this is good if you are doing it in accordance to that which is mentioned by the scholars when they say it's not even a deen. You are being picky in terms of choosing the scholars who have tarbiyah and the knowledge and good aqeedah. That one is fine. But sometimes we exaggerate, we go beyond the requirement. I have a scholar who knows better than me, however, I am, let's say, 70, 80 years old. You get it? But that one is only 20 years old. I don't have any interest in his knowledge because he is young. That's arrogance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Inna min ashraf al-sa'ah," one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that people are going to seek knowledge from the asagir. Asagir means the younger ones. That's the literal meaning. But Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, no, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not talking about this. He is talking about you taking the knowledge from those people who don't qualify to pass the knowledge to you. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, as for the young person who has the knowledge and well-versed in the knowledge, this is not a young person, this is kabir. We should take note on this because we still have some people, because of the title we have, we don't accept correction. Iwallah, we still have them. You correct your lecturer sometimes, you fail. You correct your sheikh, you have issues with you coming to the class next time. And he should be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with somebody next to him. When he makes mistake, he will correct him. Rather than things remaining the way they are, you only know that you're wrong when you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would be a tragedy. You need somebody who is next to you that can tell you, but we saw in this place that this is supposed to be done in this way. should be happy with that. These are the people that you bring closer to you. The scholars in the past, what we learn from them is that they never see something wrong coming from their sheikh except that they correct him immediately. It has to be somebody to do this. But unfortunately, we are living in a time since we value the titles more than what is and doing what is correct. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said that, I really want us to understand it correctly. He is not talking about you seeking the knowledge from the younger ones. The younger person, if he has the knowledge, he is the scholar that should be teaching. Abdullah ibn Abbas used to be taken to the place where Umar meets the important people amongst the companions. Umar, he has a majlis that he sits with the people who participated in the Battle of Badr, the old companions, and he discussed with them the matters of the Ummah. So he usually come with Abdullah ibn Abbas. And you know, Abdullah ibn Abbas was very young. So some of them got annoyed because they also have children at his age or even bigger than him, older than him, but they don't bring them. Why is he bringing this boy all the time? So they talk to him. Why? We can bring our kids, but this majlis is very important majlis. Kids should be avoided from this majlis, because this is the most serious majlis in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. And then Umar kept quiet, right? And tomorrow also bring him. So since they get annoyed, so Umar decided to let them understand why is he bringing him. So he asked them one day, when Abdullah ibn Abbas was there, and he told them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ until the end of the surah. What do you understand from this? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just informing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when the victory comes and Makkah is conquered, you know, now everything looks like being done, you know. So it's time for you to have the tafarruq, to go and just get busy with the ibadat and do istighfar and nazir. Is it correct? Yes, it's correct. This is a very literal meaning that you take from the ayah, which everyone can do that. But Quran is full of principles and maxims and qawaid. But you go deeper, some of the extract of the scholars, trust me, wallahi, if you don't study the usul, you will never be able to understand where they're getting these things. But when you study usul fiqh and you look at the ayah, you relate it to what they are talking about, you understand, yeah, it is there. How come I did not see it? So Umar asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, Ya Ghulam, what do you think about that? Sure, they would get more annoyed. How is he comparing this boy with them? You know? What do you understand from this? He says, I do understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your ajal is very near. You're about to leave this life. So you need to prepare for that. It's not about you getting the victory, no, it's just about that your mission has been accomplished and your ajal is very near and you need to get ready for that. So they were so amazed with this kind of understanding at this age. Umar told them, yes, that's exactly what I understood from the ayah, that this is the ajal of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being informed to Rasulullah, but in that indirect way. He said, this is the reason why I'm bringing him to this place. What brought him to the place? Knowledge. Yeah. Knowledge. Ya Allah. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. There used to be a scholar. That scholar, you know, subhanAllah, his story is amazing to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is elevating people in ranking. This scholar used to be one of the mawali, one of the slaves. Get it? And also very bad looking. And he has some disease. You see his face, you can understand that yes, definitely there is deficiency in the face. They said even when he speaks sometimes, the saliva comes out of his mouth because of that sickness. I mean, the look is not good. But trust me, people used to travel from all over the world just to meet him, to sit with him. I remember one of the Khulafa came to Makkah and he decided to meet this scholar and take the knowledge from him, I guess Abi Rabah. he wanted to take knowledge from him to ask him some questions about Hajj. Because at that time, they used to see that the fatwa that comes from him about Hajj is the most accurate fatwa. So the Khalifa managed to meet him. And the son of the Khalifa doesn't understand why this humility of the Khalifa, from the Khalifa towards this Sheikh. And the Sheikh doesn't even look nice. You know, the children of the Khulafa, so he was annoyed. And after they left the place, the Khalifa was very humble. So the son blamed the father. He said, what is this? The father hit him. He says, keep quiet. I will never forget my humiliation in the presence of this person who is originally a slave. And he told his son, he says, study. He says, what brought him to this place is knowledge. And he will Allah. This is what knowledge does. That's why the poet says, العلم يرفع بيتا لا أساس له والجهل يهدم بيت العز والكرم. Knowledge brings up a house that doesn't have foundation. You Allah. You have some scholars, if you go back to the root, there were nobody in the community. But because of the knowledge, they are everyone. One of the scholars, he reached Raqqa. And I guess this is in the time of Harun al-Rashid, if I'm not mistaken. When this scholar reached the place, all of the people in the community came to him. The Umm Walad, the female slave of the Khalifa, she was with him. So she saw the whole community coming to meet that person. She never saw a crowd like this. So she was asking the Khalifa, she said, who is this? He said, this is so-and-so-and-so Sheikh visited us today. SubhanAllah. He said, this is so-and-so-and-so Sheikh visited us today. She said, this is the real kingdom, not the one we are in. Iwallah. So that's what knowledge is. Al-ilmu yarfa'u bayta la asasa lahu wal-jahl yahdimu bayta al-izzi wal-karami. Ignorance destroys a house of honor and nobility. Iwallah. So that's what knowledge does. So back to the story of Musa alayhi salam. So Musa said, nobody knows better than me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wahai to him, informing him that answer was wrong. Abduna Khidr bi Majm al-Bahrain. He says, our slave Khidr bi Majm al-Bahrain. What I need from this story to support what we're talking about, because we cannot go through this lengthy story, is this part. Musa, immediately after hearing the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abduna Khidr bi Majm al-Bahrain, we have our slave living in the Majm al-Bahrain, he immediately said, Ya Allah, kayfa as-sabilu ilayhi? How can I reach him? And subhanAllah, he moved immediately based on the instruction by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going to see Khidr. For what? For knowledge. Just to seek the knowledge. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that this person knows better than you, Musa left to see that person. So that he can get from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed, Khidr. And we all know the story, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated it, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also narrated the story in detail. So what I'm trying to say, my dear brothers and sisters, the most important thing you do in this life to elevate yourself in ranking is to study. To study the correct knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid din." If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you, Allah will grant you ability to have deep knowledge in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, you will never find something like this. You know, Ashraf al-Mawaqif is a mawqif al-Tawheed. The best position is a position of establishing Tawheed and the Aqeedah, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know that in this place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about those who bear witness that there is none to be worshipped except him, this is the greatest confirmation and affirmation you have of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that exists in the Sunnah and the Hadith. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning his name, the angels, the next one are the scholars. Subhanallah. Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illa huwa wal malaikatu wa ulul ilmi qa'iman bil qist. Subhanallah. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed their shahada. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he says, He says, وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. He said, the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. I think this is more than enough to motivate anyone who is looking for sharaf in this dunya to stand up and study. He says that if you're looking for the inheritors of the prophets, those who inherit a prophet, look at the scholars. He says, وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَإِنَّمَا وَرَثُوا الْعِلْمِ وَإِنَّمَا وَرَثُوا الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَاذِيًا. He said, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave dirham, ringgit, gold, you know, silver. They don't leave that. And in fact, a prophet will never agree to leave this amount of money. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a time he was praying, you know, subhanAllah, he quickly finished the prayer and then he moved very quickly to the house. The companions were shocked. They did not know what happened because they see him being very serious. He goes to the house and he asks Aisha or whoever he met among his wife about the 3 dirham or dirham that he left. When the companions ask him, Ya Rasulullah, what happened? Is everything okay? He said, yes, it's okay. But I just remember that I left 3 dirham, you know, at home. So I'm afraid of getting into trouble before I distribute them. So I just went back to disperse them to those people who deserve. When he was sick, and he told Aisha to spend whatever balance of money that left in his house, so she kept some part of it. She said, I'm afraid maybe he will wake up and need that money. When he woke up, the Prophet ﷺ, the first thing he asked her, he said, did you give the money to the needy? She said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I was afraid maybe you may need it when you wake up. He said, Aisha, what do you want me to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I meet him while these dirahim are still in my house? So I just want you to understand that prophets, they don't leave anything at home. Whatever they left is going to be little and is supposed to be dispersed in charity. So what is the thing they left for the ummah? That's knowledge. And who are the people who take this knowledge, this inheritance, this estate? The scholars. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. Whoever managed to take that knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for the ummah, definitely he is the person that takes a great portion of blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, it is the deficiency to be an ignorant in this dunya. Iwallah, big deficiency to be ignorant in this dunya. And everyone is invited. The Prophet said, طلب العلم واجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة. Seeking knowledge is obligatory upon everyone, male and female. It's wajib upon us to go and seek the knowledge. Knowledge of that which our religion cannot be completed without knowing it. This is the minimum you can do. To be ignorant is deficiency, and everyone should try their best to remove this deficiency. The previous nation, they were the best because of the knowledge, and we still remember them up to date, and their dhikr was kept by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala up to date because of the knowledge. Iwallah. All of these famous people that we used to remember, you know, remember them when a circumstance arrived. And some of them we totally forgot them. From the musicians and the footballers and movie makers and all of these ones, the presidents. You know, we remember some of them with sharr when we see the similar sharr is taking place. But the name of our scholar, as the poet says, there are some people, although they are dead, but they are still alive. And you have some people, although they are alive, but they are dead. So try to be among those people who Allah SWT is keeping their good remembrance in this dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is the last hadith I will quote about the virtues of knowledge, and then we move to the main topic being given to me. SubhanAllah, the hadith went. Who remember the last thing I was saying before I said this? What is that? No, before then, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Okay, when I remember, inshallah, I'll come back to it. Yeah, that's the problem of digressing so much. So next time, just tell me to speak about the awaik. Anyway, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us ability to join this community. So as I said, everyone is required to seek the knowledge and remove the ignorance from himself. However, there are obstacles on the way to seeking the knowledge, which bi-idhnillahi ta'ala I will be focusing on. I have a lot of them, so I will try to summarize before the people start telling me that your time is up, inshallah. So anything that is good and excellent, you know, that will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan will never let you succeed in it. Whatever is good and excellent and is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan will never let you succeed in that. He told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He promised, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he swore by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will never let the children of Adam succeed. So whatever is good and is a blessing and it's going to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan will never let you reach that way. So the battle between you and him is going to be very, very strong. So inshallah, I will mention some of the obstacles that usually a student of knowledge, you know, faces in his journey to educate himself. Number one, fasadun niyyah, having bad intention in knowledge. The most important thing that keeps your knowledge intact is a good intention. Imam Ahmad said, Al-ilmu la ya'liluhu shay'un liman sahhat niyyatuhu. There is nothing similar to knowledge as long as the intention is good. There is nothing similar to knowledge as long as the intention is good. What should be the intention of a student of knowledge? The scholar said he must make sure that this study that he is seeking, this knowledge that he's seeking, he's doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. Number two, to remove the ignorance from himself. Number three, and also to remove the ignorance from the community. Meaning, I'm doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the ignorance from myself and also to help others who are not fortunate to get the knowledge to remove the ignorance from themselves. This should be the intention of the student of knowledge. And alhamdulillah, the scholars have mentioned that at any time you realize that your intention is not good, you can make a U-turn and come back. That's a good thing about our religion. You will never be late. When it comes to Tawheed and Aqeedah, at any moment you want to fix it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is welcoming you. Because sometimes we might be looking for the knowledge but for the sake of the dunya. There are some people who are looking for the knowledge for the sake of debate. I met a brother who says he wants to go to Medina and study. You know, he said he wants to go to Medina and study. And the reason why he wants this, he said he just wants to see him debating a person with evidences that person cannot even talk in front of him. Subhanallah. I still remember this person, you know. He said the only reason why he wants to see himself in the Islamic University of Medina is for the sake of debate. He wants to see that whenever he engages in a debate with a person, that person cannot say anything because he has all the evidences. And this is very wrong intention, which the scholars reminded us, you know, to stay away from it. They said, do not study in order to debate others. Your knowledge will not be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Study for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If in the future you happen to debate with others, and then you go through it. Get an idea. If you are studying for the sake of the debate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withdraw his support from you. And at the end of the day, the knowledge will have no barakah, and your knowledge will be restricted. But if you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will put barakah in your time, and you will be able to do the necessary. In the future, if there is a need, because debate is not something that you should be looking for. All we should be looking for is mudhakara. Look for a partner to sit down and revise the knowledge with him. The scholars in the past, they do everything possible to get the knowledge and also to revise it with their colleagues. We have heard about some of them, when they don't find somebody to revise the knowledge with, they revise the knowledge with who? Animal in the house. There was one of the muhaddithin, he goes to the house, nobody's there to listen to him. So he goes to his sheep, haddathana fulan, and fulan, and fulan, and fulan. So people tell him, what are you doing? He says, yeah, I just want to feel that I'm reading it to somebody. Yeah. Not debate. But when the debate is wajib, then you get ready for that, and you will be supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first obstacle that is hindering, you know, the student and prevent him to get the best knowledge is lack of ikhlas, fasad al-niyyah, to have a very bad intention when seeking the knowledge. And trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, the most important thing that is keeping your knowledge intact is ikhlas. Whatever you memorize sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, it will never be taken away from you. It will stay with you forever and ever, inshallah. Ma kana lillahi dama wa qarra. This is what Imam Malik mentioned when people went to him and told him, Imam, you have written your book Al-Muwatta, but now everyone is writing Al-Muwatta. You wrote a book called Muwatta, and now everyone is writing Muwatta. So it looks like you waste your time. You might be wanting to be unique in this regard, but everyone is writing Muwatta. You know, the one who was telling him this, not knowing that Imam Malik was not thinking about others when he was compiling the book. That's why when he finished informing him about what people are doing nowadays, Imam Malik said, no, don't worry. You will know in the future only that which was done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains. Subhanallah, we are not saying that those other muwatta'ats written by the scholars are not based on the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not saying that. That's between them and Allah. But subhanallah, nowadays, and even before, whenever you say muwatta, the first muwatta that comes to the mind of the audience is the muwatta written by Imam Malik. So please take note of this. Even your study, the dunya ones, make sure that your intention is correct. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, most of us are wasting their time. You spend 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, but all of them will be useless. Tomorrow if you die, everything you spent in this university, in that university, will be useless if your intention is not good. And as I always mention that, having good intention is the only solution you have, because you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you in your journey to pass whatever you want to pass. If you have good intention, you're doing it for Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you. And what are you looking for now? You're looking for the dunya. You'll have a good job, you'll have good results, you know. If you have good intention and you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants perfection, and He wants whatever you do things, you do it perfectly. So you're going to be very serious in your education, and at the end of the day, you get the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What next? And you get good result. That should be additional intention after intending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will get the support. Inshallah, you will never fail. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stand for you after you graduate. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. One of the worst moments that a person can be in is when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with bad intention in seeking knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the first three people to be taken to hellfire. One of them is a scholar who wasn't doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is a scholar who was not doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your intention is correct. Whatever you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remove the knowledge from, to remove the ignorance from yourself and the ignorance from the Muslim community wherever you live in. That's number one. Number two, kathratu mashagil dunya. How many people used to come to school and then they stop because of work? Because of other dunya matters? A lot. That's why, unfortunately, when you start a class, how many people you're going to have? Hundreds of them. I remember there was a time we have a class in UIA. I told some of my students, we need to start studying fiqh. And as such, I just need like 5-10 people, you know. So the one who is making announcement, he went and announced it to any place. Subhanallah. The first day, I got 300 people. I was like, what is going on here? I was looking for a few. So somebody told me that Okay, that's what happened. We have nothing to say in the book because people just heard about the class and they came. I said, no problem. Inshallah, I will come back to the amount I want. Yeah. They go the next day also, alhamdulillah, some few left. The next day also some few left. You know, that's how it kept on going until the amount that I was looking for. And these are the people that remain with us until the time the class ends. So what happened? Most of the people, if you talk to them, they will tell you, busy with job, busy with this, busy with that. And to be honest with you, this is lack of management of time. The companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're working actually harder than us, you know. Their life is much harder than our life. But they did an excellent job in seeking knowledge, and they never leave any opportunity they can benefit themselves in terms of knowledge except they reach that place. They go to work. So many of them are farmers, many of them are business people. But subhanAllah, those people who cannot go every day and study, what do they do? For instance, me and Omar, I go to work, he goes to work. So I tell him, Omar, if we're going to do this, then the class will not be able to get everything. I'm going to work, you're going to, I lost, you lost. So why can't we make it like this? Today, I will be on break. I go and study and took note on everything. And tomorrow I will go for work and then you go. This is what the companions were doing. This is called a tanawub. Fit-tahammul. Umar radiallahu anhu used to have a friend. So he talked to his friend. He says, we're losing a lot and this is inappropriate. Dunya is distracting us. Why can't we make it in this way? Wallahi, take it seriously. It is a big deficiency to live this dunya, to live in this dunya without seeking knowledge. And I don't see anyone who has excuse. If you tell me that the dunya is taking 24 hours from your time, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, you're doing the wrong thing in your life and you will regret one day. I have seen many people who regretted. Alhamdulillah, they regretted on time. Yeah, alhamdulillah. I have known people who are very good, very excellent in business and they're doing very well, very well. But then they just realize that this business, although it's profiting and they're getting good thing and they're doing it, you know, in the right way, but they just realize that almost every single moment of their time has been taken by the dunya. I remember some of them, I'm telling them, please be moderate. They said, no, we just have to quit. SubhanAllah. And they quit. They come to maintain the balance. Did they lose anything? No. To my knowledge, those people that I'm talking about, Allah SWT put them up. Because we do have time, but we are not managing it correctly. We do have time, we're not managing it correctly. Dunya doesn't take all of your time. That is a time for you to give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for that which will benefit your akhirah. So one of the obstacles is too much being busy with the dunya matters. So maintain the balance. And take this statement of Luqman al-Hakim as the thing that is motivating you and leading your life. He says, son, اعمل لدنياك بقدر بقائك فيها واعمل لآخرتك بقدر بقائك فيها. He said, son, serve your dunya according to the time you're going to spend in this dunya. And serve your akhirah according to the time you're going to spend in the akhirah. How long are you going to be in the akhirah? How long are you going to be in the akhirah?
Forever.
Forever. No end, right? And how long are we going to be in the dunya? Let's say you live for 1 million years. Compare this with the life in the akhirah. Even the life in the barzakh. Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam died. How long has he been on the ground? 9,000 years? 10,000 years? Who lived like this? Nobody. But unfortunately, we are making it the other way around. We serve the dunya more than the way we serve the akhirah. You know? So please, my dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your dunya does not distract you from studying. So how to overcome this? Manage your time properly. Understand that the most valuable thing you have after your iman and your soul is your time. That time has to be managed properly and give knowledge the greater portion of your time. Study, study. بإذن الله عز وجل, you will appreciate this word of mine. One of these obstacles is kasad, laziness. Yeah, this obstacle is talking about our current student. Am I right? Yes. I know you will not say yes, but yes. Yeah, kasal, laziness is one of the worst, you know, elements that is harming our students. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, most of our students, actually all of our students, they do have the capacity to learn and to elevate themselves in ranking and to bring themselves up. But unfortunately, out of laziness, they want everything to be given to them, you know, just like that. You cook, you ask them to open their mouth and you put inside. They don't want to work. That's why when you learn, when do you revise your knowledge? We revise it a day before the examination. You get it? And when we fail, we blame who? Lecturers. Why do I fail? Not knowing that he has been giving you the information for the past 4 months. And you kept them. You think that was a joke? If he knows that you can get everything at once, then he can just wait at the last, you know, day, you know, before the exams, he just gave you the slides and everything and go and study and come for the exam tomorrow. But he knows that knowledge cannot be taken in this way. We're going to talk about this, inshallah, later. Knowledge cannot be taken in this way. The gradual process is necessary. That's why they break it down into pieces like that. So that you have to remove the laziness and work for it. They mentioned that Imam al-Nawawi goes and take knowledge from around 13 scholars or 13 dars in a day, and then come back before he sleeps, he memorizes everything, then he sleeps. They mentioned that Imam Bukhari will wake up at night for more than 13 times. You will begin to wonder, when does he sleep, you know? And every time he wakes up, he will light up the lantern of and write something that comes to his mind when he was sleeping. He remembers something, you know, that's when they have a very, you know, little and light sleep. They're very serious people. They mentioned some of these scholars, even the days when the sheikh is not coming to the class, they mentioned that these students, they used to go to the majlis and sit down there. Somebody asked them, why are you going? The sheikh is not coming. They said, we don't want our soul to remember something called rest. That's why all of the scholars, when they talk about the knowledge, they tell us, هَذَا الْعِلْمُ لَا يُنَالُ بِرَحَةِ الْجِسْمِ, which we totally ignore. This knowledge cannot be gained with resting at home. You have to make sure that, yes, you tell yourself that you don't have time for rest. You rest later, but not now. So laziness is one of the worst elements that are killing the ability of our students. And I leave you with this statement that I always leave you with, which until now, many of us are not paying attention to, the statement of the poet who says, وَلَمْ أَرَفِي عُيُوبِ النَّاسِ عَيْبًا كَنَقْسِ الْقَادِرِينَ عَلَى التَّمَامِ. I have never seen deficiency that is worse than the deficiency of somebody who has all the ability to bring himself up, but he's not doing it. Trust me, whether you agree, you don't agree, this is how I see our students. I know many students who have, subhanAllah, who are very smart, and they have the ability to be somebody, but they spend 4 years in their life doing nothing. Doing nothing. And we always complain that we have too much assignments. Yeah, I teach. I know when students are doing their assignments. When is that? The last week. The last 2 weeks before the end of the semester, you're going to have only less students in your class. Where are they? All of them in the library, doing their assignment. And then tomorrow when they come, they're going to ask you, sir, can we have an extension? And some people will be asking you, can I join this group when? A week before the end of before the due date, you know? You already know that this person is not going to do anything with this assignment. You know, most likely his name is just going to be written, another cheating. So my dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, laziness will not take you anywhere. You need to be very hardworking. This knowledge is priceless, you know. You cannot price it. The value is so high. And for you to get it, you have to give all of your time, the scholar said, then he will give you a little and a bit. That's obstacle number three. Obstacle number four. ظن المرء أن العلم للصغار فقط. And this one I directed to the old ones. Yeah, the younger people, you can close your ears if you wish. There are some people, because of the age, they believe that, oh, khalas, I've already aged, I cannot have the knowledge. Yeah, this is very wrong. Very wrong. Knowledge is for who? For serious people. Your age doesn't have any impact in this. Yeah, it's true that if you're young, the younger you are, the more you memorize. The younger you are, the more you memorize. I was, okay, since the boss is sleeping, I was asking them to memorize something at home. His younger sister was there, and she was not intended in the memorization. You know, subhanAllah, when we are coming back from the school, I asked him, repeat. He got stuck. SubhanAllah, she memorized those abiyats that I was teaching him. She read them completely with no mistake. SubhanAllah, I told him, you see? So that's how it is. She's younger than him, so the capacity in terms of memorization is stronger than hers. But that doesn't mean if you're old, you cannot do it. I remember they mentioned about Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri. Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri, he was at the age of 40-something. He get inside the masjid. And then in that place, there are the Maliki scholars. And his opinion of the majority of the scholars that if you come to the masjid after Asr, you shouldn't pray. Okay, controversial matter among the scholars. So Ibn Hazm came to the masjid. He started praying, Allahu Akbar. Those scholars, they were there, they told him, oh, wait, sit down, you cannot pray. So Ibn Hazm, being an ignorant person, you know, he listened to them, he sat down. The next day, something brought him to the masjid. Something brought him to the masjid, but not after us. You know. So he sat down. They told him, no, you cannot sit down. You have to stand up and pray. He said, how come? Last time I came, you said, I cannot pray. And now that I'm praying, and you told me I have to pray. What is this? But, you know, he was annoyed and he told himself, this should be the last one. SubhanAllah, he stood up and seek the knowledge in the way they mentioned that the scholars in Spain, in Andalus, none of them was able to debate with him in terms of knowledge. He read his books, you understand that you are dealing with the scholar. But many of them mentioned that he started seeking the knowledge at that age. You might find some scholars who are older than this. So what I'm trying to say is that knowledge is not for the young people. Wallahi, old people should try to educate themselves and you know, go alongside with the younger ones. I remember a story one of our students here was narrating about an old man who joined a tahfiz class, and he was delaying the rest of the student in making progress because according to the school policy, the student have to move all together at once. So he was not able to move. So the school decided to fire him. They talked to him about that. SubhanAllah, he cried a lot and he begged the school to give him one last chance. So he affected the heart of everyone at the school, the way they see him crying, because he was really crying seriously. He said, this is the last, he just wants this last chance to be given to him. And SubhanAllah, that student of ours said, he said, wallahi, he memorized the Quran before anybody in that school. Before everyone. He was the first to memorize the Quran. That's ulul himma. And he was an old man, but he managed to do it. I heard that they have a program in Indonesia for the old people for Quran memorization, where they memorize one ayah every day. I really like that program. One ayah every day. Don't rush. A day will come, because being an old man, you don't know when are you going to die. Because sometimes we make a mistake. Oh, I'm too old and I'm very close to Akhirah. Who said? Ewallah, this is wrong perception, because we have old people who lived much longer than the young ones. You don't know. Many of us reach 100 years old, 90 years old, 80 years old. So even at the last minute, as long as the aql is there, knowledge is valueless. I'm sorry, knowledge is priceless. It has a lot of value. Understand this, that the best thing you should do before you leave this life is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a scholar or a student of knowledge. So this is an obstacle mentioned by the scholars, that a person looking at his age and then telling himself that I'm too old to go to the school. And wherever you can learn, just go to that place. Even if that place is attended by the younger people, just be humble. You know what you're looking for. And we need that kind of sumt. That's why classes that you have, the mixture of old and younger ones, is more serious than the classes that you have always the younger people, especially in our time. Because most of the younger people, they attend the class halfly. Half of them is in the class and the other half is with the media. But the old people, they are more serious. So at least we can maintain the balance, and you have somebody who remind the people who are in the class to pay attention. Okay, one of these obstacles mentioned by the scholars is رَبْطُ عَدَمُ وَرَبْطِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْعَمَلِ. You learn and you don't put that which you're learning into action. And this is really an obstacle. Nowadays, who are the laziest people in terms of practicing what they learn? The layman in society or the student? The student of knowledge. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, I live in a place whereby you see the one who's praying the sunnah prayers, they are the old people and the layman in the community. The student of knowledge, you don't see them in the masajid praying the sunnah. They don't pray the sunnah. They don't do all of those virtues mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They just get busy with the knowledge. And unfortunately, in some places, they call the person who is praying sunnah prayers, they call him certain titles if they don't call him a deviant person. I'm really serious on this because I have witnessed this with my own eyes. So I used to think that this is our own, you know, epidemic, you know, the disease, we're affected by this disease nowadays. But then I read in the book of Imam al-Dhahabi, Mizan al-Itidal fi Naqd al-Rijal. Imam al-Dhahabi was defending one of the scholars. You know what was the problem of that scholar? The problem is that he prays sunnah prayers a lot. So some of the younger students, they blame him in society that he's praying a lot. We do have them. There are classes which we used to attend. People are telling others, some people are telling others not to go to those classes because the one who is teaching talks about iman and things which are softening the heart a lot. They blame him for that. So subhanAllah, I love the statement of Imam al-Dhahabi when he was defending that person. He says, what is this? وَهَلْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا الْعَمَلُ بِهِ. Is there any value for a knowledge if you don't put it into practice and action? Masruq ibn al-Ajda, one of the free slave of Aisha radiallahu anha, he came to Aisha, he said, Ya Ummah, please give me more hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She told him, she said, Ya Masruq, Ibn, did you use what I have already given you? He said, no, I'm still busy compiling. You know what she told him? She said, لَا تُكْثِرُ الْحُجَجَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. Don't you increase more evidence against yourself when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your feet will never leave their position when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you about four things. Your life, how did you spend it? Your youth, how did you spend it? And then this one need, you know, to be explained. The second one, who is the youth? Somebody who reached the age of 15 up to the age of 30. Some scholars said up to the age of 40. You're called youth, shab. Allah will ask you specifically about this period of time. How did you spend it? So we really have a job. And the way to spend it correctly to avoid getting into trouble is already explained to us. All that you have to do is to go to the class and study. Ya Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said you'll be asked about these two things. Number three, about your wealth. How did you get it and how did you spend it? The scholar said, Al-Amin al-Shanqiti in his book, Al-Islam Deenun Kamil, he said these are the root of the Islamic economic system. everything you are studying in finance, Islamic economics, accounting, whatever you're studying, which is related to business in Islam, is based on these two things: good earning and good spending. Riba and gharar and all of these things are part of these one: good earning and good spending. And so when you go back to Allah, the only question that you have concerning your wealth, how did you get this dinar and how did you spend it? You'll be questioned about that. That's why you have to be ready. Allah is not a joke. You're so rich, but the wealth Allah SWT gave you as a caretaker. You're the only one who's commanded by Allah SWT to use it. You do have a right over this money, and nobody has right except you, because Allah entrusted you in it to put it in the right place. That's why one of the mistakes we are making, we call zakat. I was reading an article, listening to one of the speakers also calling zakat a tax. It's a very big mistake. This is a very big mistake we're making. And that's why some people are hesitating to give, because they call it tax. So tax is what is given by you, and it's a relationship between you and the authority. Zakah is not a tax. Because the one who owns the money and you is Rabbul Alameen. The money is his money. There is no way for you to describe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking from his money. He just assigned you as an agent to go and pass it to somebody and you call it tax. No, it's not. This is Allah taking his money and asking you to go and put it to the place where he wants. So Allah will question you: how did you get and where are you spending it? That's why it is my personal advice to all of you. Wallahi, you will not be happy to have that long standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment be questioned about your wealth for 500 years. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the rich people go to paradise before the poor people with nisqiyo. That's 500 years. Why? Because of too much questions. You need the hisab to be easy. And that's why my personal advice to all of us, myself and everyone: avoid shubha. Whatever is shubha, stay away from it. Always try to be on the safe side. Be like the father of Imam al-Bukhari, who told his son that he's going to leave behind for him 1 million dirham. He says, لا أعلم الدرهم فيه شبهة. He said, I don't know a single dirham that has shubha in it. We're not talking about haram. Even the shubha one, he says, I don't have. That's why you see Imam al-Bukhari in the way we see him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will ask you about your wealth. Where did you get it? And how did you spend it? How did you get it? And how did you? And the last one is your knowledge. Did you use it or not? How did you use the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you? So it's important to practice what you're learning. And whatever you practice, be it like Allah, you will never forget it. That's why the scholars, they used to learn and immediately put it into action so that they can be able to remember it. You get an idea. Don't tell yourself, I'm a student of knowledge, I'm a scholar, you know, and leave the virtues to others. No, this is stupidity. Sorry for saying this. Wallahi, it's stupidity. For you to say that, no, I'm a scholar, then ignore this virtue you let people are doing. No, a student of knowledge should be the best example for everyone to follow. You should be rushing to the masajid before anybody else. You should be praying all the sunnah so that people watch you and also do the same thing as you do it. But unfortunately, we are not like that. We leave all the virtues to be taken by those who we see with the eye. We look at them with the eyes of deficiency, unfortunately. One of these obstacles, سُوءُ التَّدَبُّرُ وَالتَّخْطِيطُ وَعَدَمُ التَّدَرُّجُ فِي الطَّلَبِ. This is very important. You know, many of us, we just started seeking the knowledge. Yeah, I know you're going to tell me your time is up, but don't worry, I'm also tired. Okay. So, you know, many of us, you know, we listen up about knowledge, you know, we listen to a speech about knowledge, and then we want to join the community of learning. However, at the same time, we want to be scholars within a short period of time. Is that true? Yes. We want to be scholars, you know, in a short period of time. Somebody was right when he says, تَمَنَّيْتَ أَن تُمْسِي فَقِيهًا أَن تُمْسِي فَقِيهًا مُنَاظِرًا بِدُونِ عَنَاءٍ وَالْجُنُونُ فُنُونُ. He says, you're always wishing to become a scholar who is very rooted in the scholarship, you know, I mean, within the blink of an eye. So So that person says, well, junun funun. He says, your insanity also is of different type. The type of your insanity is this one. Yeah, because people spend a lot of time for them to get what you see them having. So tadarruj, which is the gradual process that I have mentioned, is really necessary in knowledge. You start with the small one and go slowly, slowly until you reach the bigger knowledge. I want to study fiqh. What is the first thing I should do? Salam. I want to study fiqh. What is the first thing I should do?
To learn Arabic.
Wrong. Thank you very much. May Allah give you firdaus. To memorize the Quran. Yeah. In the past, the first thing they used to do, you know, when they see a new student attending their majlis, is to ask him, did you finish the Quran or not? Go around all the scholars, almost all of them, they started with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before anything else. I remember one of the boys, he came to the majlis of one of the scholars, the sheikh asked him, did you finish Quran? He said, yes. He said, read, yusikum Allah fi awladikum. He got stuck. He said, boy, go finish the Quran first and then come and seek the knowledge. Because the Quran is the miftah. You need that one to open the door for you. So the first thing is the Quran. And then after you finish the Quran, you start with which book in fiqh? The smallest one. The summarized version. You go gradually. But we don't do that. You just join a class. MashaAllah, you know, the first year you finish, you think that I am faqih, and you started doing the mutala in the Mughni Ibn Qudama, 14 volumes. And then you come and tell the scholars, Ashkalat alayhi al-masail, I get confused. Of course you have to get confused because you don't have the foundation. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kunu Rabbaniyina. Allah says you have to be a Rabbani. What is Rabbani? Rabbani, the scholar said, is the one who is giving tarbiyah to the people based on small knowledge before the big ones. Do you get the idea? It's not smartness for you to start with the, I mean, heavy books. You have to start with the small one and go gradually. Do you get the idea? And when you are memorizing and you are studying, please don't put a lot of things at once. I'm studying nahw, I'm studying fiqh, I'm studying... No, you have to strategize. Quran, just stick to Quran. Don't go to anything else except Quran. You can go to the lectures and learn what can improve your iman, no problem. But anything that needs focus, this is my advice, stay away from that. Just Quran. Keep on going with the Quran. It takes 1 year to finish, you are done with the Quran. Then move to the Sunnah or any other book that your sheikh advises you to move to. And go gradually. When you take a book, be patient. Sometimes we rush. I want to finish this book today, and it has 1,000 bytes. You know, I keep memorizing. I spent years trying to finish it, and I would not finish. And even after I finish, you know, I easily forget. So this gradual process is necessary, and also having good strategy in learning is necessary. And the scholar said, يجب عليك أن تأخذ العلم وتتقنه ثم تنتقل إلى غيره. It is wajib upon you when you take a discipline, you master that one first, and then you move to the next one. They give a nice example. It says, وَفِي تَرَادُفِ الْعُلُومِ الْمَنْعُ جَاءْ إِنْ تَوْأَمَانِ اسْتَبَقَى لَمْ يَخْرُجَ. The scholar said, having so many disciplines at once, you are studying this, you are studying that, you will lose focus. And at the end of the day, you will lose everything. It says, just look at the tawam. What is tawam? The twins. If let's say the twins are racing, or both of them are saying, I have to be the first one to come out. Who will come out among them? None. Either they die, both of them, or we lose them. They come gradually. That's how knowledge is supposed to be done. That's why they said, مَا دَخَلَ كُلُّهُ خَرَجَ كُلُّهُ. Whatever you put together at once, when it goes out also it goes at once. And if you put it gradually, when it is going out, it will also go gradually. And by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be able to realize that you are losing the knowledge and you bring it back. Because it is going also gradually. So please do understand, this sabr is needed. You have to be patient. Go gradually. Inshallah, one day you will be there. One of these obstacles mentioned by scholars is al-ghurur wal-ijab bin-nafs. Taking yourself and putting yourself, 10 minutes, alhamdulillah, more than enough to finish. Al-ghurur wal-ijab bin-nafs. We have many students, you know, subhanAllah, they start studying and they think they are now at the capacity of the great scholars, challenging scholars. This one is right, this one is wrong. Wallahi, this is very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. As one of our scholars said, some of these guys, if they make mistake in their prayer, they don't know how to fix it. And he's the one who will tell you Abu Hanifa is this and that, Imam Malik is this and that, Imam Shafi is this and that. SubhanAllah. And you know that those people, you know some of them even called Uthman ibn Affan. Do you know who is Uthman ibn Affan? One of the lecturers in UAE, right? Who is Uthman ibn Affan? Yeah? Sahabi, right? Ashra Mubashir Faqat? Minhum, okay. Who was he? Just mention something that Ashra Mubashir in there a lot, you know? Aywa, he was the Khalifa number one. Number four? Well, I will. So the third Khalifa, right? Yeah. One of the best in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know that there are some people who call him Mubtada, innovator? Do you know this? Because their Sheikh told them that Uthman was the one who added the Adhan number 3 in Jummah prayer. Wallahi, I don't know. These people, how are they going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this statement? That's why I love that statement of Ibn Uthaymeen when he comes to this. He says, Ul-Ajib, there are some of the losers who call Uthman bin Affan an innovator. He says, Uthman bin Affan, you're calling him innovator? One of the closest people to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Man anta ayyuhal sabi, man anta ayyuhal ghir. He says, who are you? Sabi. Sabi means child, you know. And you, Allah. And this is what I call ghurur. Deceiving yourself that you have the knowledge, you have the capacity to challenge the previous scholars. And we do have a lot of people who are like that. And I will leave you with this statement. Imam Ahmad says, لحوم العلماء مسمومة من شمها مريض وَمَنْ أَكَلَهَا مَاتْ. See, the flesh of the scholars is poisonous. If you smell it, you will become sick. You eat it, you die. وَعَادَةُ اللَّهِ فِي هَتْكِ أَسْتَارِ مُنْتَقِسِهِمْ مَعْلُومًا. You Allah, you touch a normal scholar who is righteous according to what we see. You know, we don't know what is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we judge people with fire. The most dangerous person to fight in this dunya is a scholar. If this scholar is righteous, is a righteous person, and you're fighting him, you should remember the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man aada li waliyan faqad adhantuhu bil harb. Whoever hate and fight my wali, you should get ready with a war between me and him. Who is fighting you? Rabbul Alameen. Read a book written by Imam Dhahabi, Siyar, and see a lot of amazing stories about those people who believe they attain the knowledge, you know, that can put them in the capacity to criticize and even to take some of our scholars out of Islam. Iwallah. I don't want to digress so much, but there are some scholars who some of these kids call them kuffar, just because they give fatwa in the wrong way. Yes, scholars are not infallible. They're not always right. But the level of respect should remain. Right? We correct them. We respect them. Nobody says that Imam Malik is always right. He himself, Imam Malik, said, مَا مِنَّا إِلَّا رَدَّ وَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ. He brought a student next to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and he told them, students, you have to know that there was nobody among us except that he once refuted somebody and somebody refuted him. The only one that cannot be refuted because he never make a mistake is Rasulullah ﷺ. There is no way for him to make a mistake in Ibadat. In the deen. He's the only one that whatever comes from him is perfect and excellent and correct. It's just up to us to understand it correctly. But the scholars are not like that. Imam Malik, this is the message he wants to send. Imam Shafi said, If you see a hadith that goes against what I am saying, please take the hadith. Don't tell people I have another opinion. Just tell them my opinion is the hadith. Imam Abu Hanifa is harsher than all of them. I already know. Imam Abu Hanifa says, لا ينبغي لمن له إسلام أخذا بأقواله حتى تعرض على الحديث والكتاب المرتضى. He says, whoever claims to be a Muslim, he shouldn't take my word without weighing it with the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the Book of Allah first. If it doesn't go with it, throw it away. Imam Shafi says, if you see something that goes against the hadith, please throw it away. All of them. Imam Ahmad says, please do not take from me, take from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that mean? It means you have to understand what Shaykh Islam bin Taymiyyah said. And please, please, my dear brothers, because we still have people around us who is having this mentality of disrespect. And that's why, trust me, my experience and knowledge, if you take this manhaj, you have nothing to do in your life except to criticize this, to criticize that. You will never study. Never met a person who is busy with this and at the same time became a scholar. Up to date. Never. Maybe you might see, but I never saw a single person. I know people who I left them in this manhaj, I came back, I found them in the same place, and some of them, they even left everything. They became corrupt. Even the religion, they left it. Ewallah. I was debating somebody who used to be having this, you know, 2 hours. His aqidah is similar to the aqidah of atheist. What is going on? I saw a person who used to also have in this approach. I saw him smoking cigarettes, you know, subhanAllah, doing things which are inappropriate. Yeah, because when you don't take the manhaj of Rasulullah correctly, you invented your own manhaj, you attributed to the Salaf al-Saleh, Kadhib al-Wazura. There was a student in Medina who stood up in the middle of the class and looked at the Sheikh and told him, Anta kadhab. You are lying. What is this? What is this? What happened to the adab? And they're saying that this is what they learned from the Salaf al-Saleh. Wallah atahadda. I challenge anyone who can establish it that the Salaf al-Saleh used to be qalil al-adab in front of their scholars. Ibn Qayyim. Ibn Muflih, Al-Dhahabi, all of these great scholars, they used to be around Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah. And they have their own opinion. They disagree with him in many things, but until the time he left this dunya, they were his students, going to him and respecting him because they know who he is. Nowadays, if I'm learning from him, you know, the moment I start getting something, tomorrow when I see him, my head also is at the same capacity as his. Even the salam also, I don't say salam to him. He has to start saying salam to me first. That's why our knowledge doesn't have barakah. So please, be very careful. Knowledge has a manhaj. Be patient. Be patient. Be mutawadi, Allah SWT will bring you up. If you're arrogant, Allah SWT will bring you down. If you're mutawadi, Allah SWT will give you the knowledge. That's why one of the obstacles, inshallah, I close with it, because this man kept on showing me that thing. One of these things is arrogance. Yeah, arrogance. Arrogance is one of the greatest obstacles that is depriving you from learning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is going to take away the knowledge and His ayah from anyone who is mutakabbir. An arrogant person will never learn. That's why as a student of knowledge, you have to tell yourself, I am talibu hikmah. Somebody who is looking for wisdom. I'm going to take it from anyone. Trust me, my dear brothers, sisters, I learn from kids. As long as what they're saying is correct and I don't know it, I take it. I preserve it. One of the scholars said, I go to the majlis sometimes and I sit down in that majlis, the one who's speaking about those ahadith, he said, I memorized these ahadith before his father was born. But I will be sitting in front of him attentively as if this is the first time I hear this hadith. That's why they learn. Mutakabbir never learn. That's why sometimes when my students tell me this is wrong, I get very attitude. I start shouting if I don't fail them in the exams. You will know. I'm telling you facts. We have some people like that. I know a person who failed in the exam because of this. Fail. That's an absolute injustice. Allah, we live with some scholars. even if you fight them, physical fighting, when it comes to the exams, they give you your right. We were not living in that time. And anyone who called himself a scholar, I don't call these people scholars. Anyone who is arrogant, I don't call him a scholar. Yeah, he is, literally, but the true knowledge, he missed it. Because knowledge is the knowledge that gives you what? Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you humble. If the knowledge is making you arrogant, just because I've become a PhD holder, now I'm a doctor, when I pass him, before I used to say salam to, we are friends, you know, we shake hands. But now, when I see him, my face changes. He has to come and shake the hand and I don't even see him properly, you know. We do have people like this. Who is the best person in this dunya and the most busiest person in the history? Rasulullah. You know, Rasulullah doesn't rest. As a prophet, even his heart doesn't sleep. The eyes can close, but the heart doesn't sleep. I remember he just came back home to rest, you know, after struggling and doing everything. Because at home also, when he comes back, there is no rest. He just sleep a little, and then wake up and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. Until the time you pity him when you see him pray. And he said he just appreciated what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He just came back, he lied down to sleep. Jibril came, he said, Ya Muhammad. And he told him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to go and do something. And he left immediately. This man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has time to stay with children and make jokes with them and say salam to everyone. They even mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you meet him, he quickly says the salam to you before you say salam to him. He has time with people. And nowadays, because I'm a scholar, you are a scholar, we don't have time to say salam to others. We do have people, even to reply the salam, they don't. And what is the justification? We're busy. That's why we remain in the way we are. So as a student of knowledge, I really advise you to stay away from arrogance. Be humble. And take knowledge from everyone who has the knowledge to pass. And he has tarbiyah. You remember I kept on mentioning tarbiyah, right? Because it's really necessary not to learn from everyone. Learn from somebody who has tarbiyah. Not just the knowledge. Wallahi, you end up getting deviated and becoming a wrongdoer in the community. And becoming a problem in the community. We have people who are fighting everyone in the community. Due to what? Lack of tarbiyah. You need to sit next to somebody who is not just giving you the knowledge, but he gives you adab. You need it nowadays. It's not about passing the knowledge. Nowadays you can get the knowledge from any place. We need the adab to be there. So be humble, my dear brothers and sisters, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring you up and to grant you everything. And the last one is al-haya. Okay, I even close my list. Okay, happy now? Alhamdulillah. The last one is al-haya. Al-haya. This is shyness and modesty. It's good in all circumstances. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-haya'u khayrun kullu." It's good in all circumstances. Circumstances except when you're seeking knowledge. When you're seeking knowledge, you should keep the haya, you know, in your pocket. Of course, you maintain the adab. But you ask the scholars about everything and you contribute to the class. So when they want to ask Abdullah ibn Abbas, how did you get this intensive amount of knowledge? He says, because I have a very attentive heart. Yeah, and please do take this. I know you will not, you know, I know you will not, but I really advise you to take this. Please, whenever you go to the majlis ilm, this thing closed. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, it is taking the most valuable thing, you know, you're looking for. Close it and keep it aside. You open it if you're taking note through it. I don't see any justification we have for communicating with others through the phone when you are in the majlis. That's a great loss. That's really a great loss. Put it aside because we have time for it. When you go out, you're going to have the vast majority of your time doing whatever you want. Then open it. But when you come to these type of places to seek the knowledge, close them. Because you cannot convince me that you are going to be paying attention and be attentive and at the same time you're on the phone. Or you're on your device. Or you're on what? Whatever. Learn how to be patient. I know that Muslims, we are the most impatient in this. I think there is a statistic analysis somebody was making concerning this, and Muslim countries are on the top. On the top. When you go out, everyone is busy with this. This one is up to you to decide how do you want to live your life. But when it comes to the majalis, and my dear brothers and sisters, when you get into the classroom, put your phone in the silent mode. I will advise you to shut it off. Shut it down. Because when it is silent, you still have your brain thinking about maybe somebody messaged you or not. But if it is off, you need to do some process to switch it on. Yeah, and that one, inshallah, will make you more lazy, because you're already lazy, so you don't want to go through that. And inshallah, it will help you to stick to the most. So Abdullah ibn Abbas said, my heart is very attentive in the class. And also, he says, وَلِسَانِ سَعُولِ. And I have a tongue that is always asking questions. Yeah, we live in the class because we are not paying attention. That's why we don't have that much of questions. So you discuss, you ask questions, you know. So we don't have that, we don't need that shyness to be in existence in the classroom. You should be very active. And remember this, whatever you discuss with the sheikh, the teacher, whoever is teaching in the class, this is the best way to revise. And most likely you will never forget that. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, I still remember many of the discussions we had in the class when we were studying our first degree. Many of the discussions. Sometimes I will be asked a question, I reflect upon the debates, you know, and the discussion with the lecturer in the class, based on that I am giving. Because that one is one of the strongest way for you to keep that which you memorize. But if you sleep in the class, if you get busy with something else, I know it's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is taking the greater blessing we got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the knowledge. So don't be shy in asking questions. Imam al-Bukhari quoted a statement of the scholars that says, لا يتعلم اثنان مستحين ولا مستكبر. Two people will never learn. A shy person and an arrogant person. Aisha radiallahu anha said, she said, may Allah show mercy upon the sisters in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those sisters of Ansar, the sisters that belong to the Ansar. She said, the reason why I'm praising them, she said, I really love them so much because لَمْ يَكُنْ يَمْنَعُهُنَّ الْحَيَاءُ مِنْ أَنْ يَتَفَقَّهْنَ فِي الدِّينِ. Shyness never deprived them to learn their religion. That's why I said, you just have to be serious, but ask about anything you need to know to your scholars. A Muslim came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. She said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not feel shy of saying the truth. Yeah, she's making this introduction because she's going to ask a question which people might not be able to ask. And she's asking who? Rasulullah. He's a maid, he's a man, right? She's asking him. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't feel shy of saying the truth. فهل على المرأة من غسل إذا هي احتلمت؟ She said, Ya Rasulullah, is it obligatory upon a woman when she sees the wet dream? She has a wet dream. Is it obligatory upon her to take ghusl also when she sees that? One of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, she put herself. What is this? She couldn't talk. She was having, you know, this surprise. What kind of question is this? And she's asking a man, you know. So she said, Inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard the question, he answered her, also a very straightforward answer. He said, yes, إِذَا هِيَ رَأَتِ الْمَاءِ. He said, yes, if she sees the water in the way the male also sees the water, she also has to take ghusl of the janaba. When she left, that wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also have a question. From that question, she said, Ya Rasulullah, is it even possible for this to happen? She's still surprised. Why this sister is coming to ask this question to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She said, Ya Rasulullah, is it even possible for a sister to have this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, yes. فَمِنْ أَيْنَ يَكُونِ الشَّبَى. If you say that the woman, she doesn't have a water, how is it possible that sometimes we see the child being like a copy of who? The mother. Sometimes the father will be surprised, where am I? The child took everything from the mother, it's like he forgot him completely. Why is that? Because it's a combination of both. Although the essence is coming from the male side, but it's a combination of both. So I have some other obstacles here. One of them is Mazin existing here. Yeah, so he told me my time is up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a good and tawfiq and help and aid each and every one of us to be among the community of knowledge. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us reliable scholars and students of knowledge that the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be proud of having. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَبِيلٍ كَفِيلٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Ahsan Allah ilayk, Shaykh. Jazakallah khair. Really appreciate you sharing all of this wisdom with us. May Allah make us among those who inherit from the inheritance of the messengers, and may Allah protect us from being arrogant and lose out in terms of seeking knowledge. And also, before our real time's up, we hope that we can actually gain something and leave something behind. So, for now, inshallah, we'll have a break until 8:15. So you guys can pray. Make sure that we pray in Jama'ah. So the prayer hall for the brothers is from this floor. Just go all the way towards the left, towards architecture faculty, and then there's a staircase up. I think there's a wudu area down there. So inshallah, you can make wudu there if you don't have. And inshallah, after that, you can go have your dinner. And just make sure that you're back by 8:15. So we'll be having a Kahoot session where we'll be having some quiz and we'll be sharing some interesting updates. For the sisters, it's the same floor as third floor. So you can ask the ushers of where exactly the place for the prayer room is. And inshallah, looking forward to seeing you guys after the break.